America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 on a Wednesday. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in seven delicious flavors from Popeyes. All right, coming up in a little bit, Nick Sirianni's midweek press conference. A big what-if Wednesday as we start looking ahead to some big things that could be
Dallas
happening
Dallas week.
It is Dallas week. Elliot later in the show. And Kyle, our next guest here is our buddy Seth Joyner.
And Seth is sponsored by BetParks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. BetParks.com. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how we doing?
What's happening, Hugh? You got to let Kyle do his read first, man.
My bad. My bad, dog. My bad, dog. You know, it's Dallas week. You know what? Like, Seth, I don't think I've ever asked you this question, but I used to hear stories about you guys in Dallas week, and I just wanted to know, what was it like for you getting ready for Dallas week?
Oh, man, it was twofold. It was like the perfect storm. Quick story. When I was coming out of college 2 weeks before the draft, Dallas actually flew me into Dallas and worked me out. Now, I was never a Cowboys fan, but, you know, when the prospect of coming to the league, you're like, I'm going to play for whoever drafted me. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of promised me that they was going to draft me, and then it never happened. Mm-hmm. Then the Eagles draft me, and I come to Philly and never really understood the hatred and the rivalry between the two teams. So my hatred for the Cowboys is on steroids compared to, you know, the average person. You know, this nonsense about the Giants rivalry is bigger than the Cowboys rivalry. Man, you fan, please.
Seth, that only happened, I think, the last maybe 15, 20 years because the Cowboys haven't been quite as good. But, Seth, I remember when I was younger, you know, towards the second half of your career, seeing some of those and then the moments. Like, that's when it felt to me like it was at its best, Seth. That rivalry, when you were playing and Buddy, those games, especially the games in Dallas, it just felt – the week felt different, the feeling felt different. And every time we get to play the Cowboys now, Seth, that he kind of brings those memories back.
Joe, I've been listening to you and Hugh for a whole year now, man. You are so off when it comes to this. Dallas is Dallas. I hate them. Beep, 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 beep. Listen, it's a big game every time. I don't care what the teams. Both teams can be 0-5 by the time they get together. In the city of Philadelphia, that's a major rivalry. That's the biggest rivalry we have, okay? My hair stands up on the back of my neck when I think about playing the Dallas Cowboys, all right? That's serious business.
Well, of course it is, and it always will be. Seth, so let's talk about this week, this game. Seth, the Cowboys are in a bad way. I mean, the Eagles get them at a time they lose their quarterback. When you think about this week, this game, this feels like a chance, Seth, for the Eagles to bury the Cowboys and get another win under their belt to 7-2.
Perfect. It is, though. You know, couldn't – what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys couldn't have it to a better organization. let me just start with that. And there have been times in the history of this rivalry when the Eagles have been on the opposite end of the circumstances and how it looks and feels right now. Mm-hmm. They didn't have no mercy or no sympathy on us. We should go in this game with no mercy or sympathy for them. I mean, go down there, totally destroy them in their house. you know, while they're down, kick them. You know, while they're down, pour your drink on them. I don't care. I don't want the Eagles to go in and dominate this game, put the foot on the gas pedal, and keep it on there until the clock says 0-0-0. If you can go down there and put 70 on them like they put on somebody last year, do it.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Well, I love that, and hopefully that is Sunday. Seth, part of that and getting all those points on the board will be the decision-making of the head coach when they have a chance to score points, whether it be a field goal, whether it be two-point conversions or extra points. Seth, what was your takeaway on Nick Sirianni's decisions on Sunday? They won. They got out with the victory, even though it got tight at the end. But there were a lot of moments. I mean, if you count them up, Seth, there are 9 points that Sirianni had a hand in either trying to get on the board or taking off the board. What did you make of how Sirianni coached the game on Sunday when it came to the in-game decisions?
Listen, I don't have a problem with being aggressive, but I think that we have evolved. I think, first of all, we're drunk on analytics and we're drunk on the go for it all the time. I think that if the game warrants you going for it, and when I say if the game warrants it, if you're in a shootout with a team and you know that you got to keep pace points-wise, then you go for it at every turn. If you are, if it's a game-tying, game-winning, or an opportunity for you to turn a 2-score lead into a 3-score lead, then you go for it. But this just going for it and going for 2, you know, when it really doesn't matter, what's the difference between 17 and 18 points? To me, that's just stupid. That's just pure idiocy, you know. And for Nick to double down on it and say that he didn't think that he did anything wrong, if he was in that set of circumstances, he'd do it all over again, I think that's a problem, you know. Because when you're playing a team like the Jaguars, they had 38 yards in the first half. They only had one first down the entire first half. You had an opportunity, if you take all the points all along, okay, just take the points. If you take the points, they're waiting to quit. They're waiting to lay down. That's what happens with bad teams. But when you do stupid stuff like he did in the first half, all it takes is one or two touchdowns, and boom, they're right back in the game. And now the team that was willing to lay down and die, you just gave them life. To me, that makes no sense. So if he doesn't adjust how he is going to, you know, be aggressive, then it's going to bite us in the ass down the road again. I'm telling you right now, because there's a time and a place and a reason why you be aggressive. And there's a time and a place when you're playing a team and you know that you can put them away, that you just put them away. Damn being aggressive just to be aggressive when necessary.
Seth, I agree. I mean, I think sometimes these coaches, Sirianni's not the only one. They just look at, okay, this is a situation we're supposed to go for it, instead of saying, all right, if we're playing the Lions, we're playing the Chiefs, we're playing the Ravens, well, we need to get, you know, it's the first team to 30 points or whatever, then we need to get there. You're playing the Jaguars, just keep it simple. I mean,
yeah, you should just beat them.
I mean, what Seth just said, you've said that all week, similar, the idea that the Jaguars had 30 yards at halftime. Why are we pushing the envelope?
Yeah, and I know we're a little antiquated, but to me, that is a situation where I don't feel, like you said, Seth, in the first half, they didn't have any offense. I don't feel you need to chase points in that situation. We were sitting on the sideline, and it was me and a couple other old guys that I was hanging out with, and we were just like dumbfounded. Why are they going for two? Like, it just didn't make any sense to me in that situation.
Bro, listen, let me tell you something. It ain't antiquated, because there was a point in time in the National Football League where running the football was becoming antiquated. And isn't that moving in a different direction?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Okay. So then when you look at the successful coaches in the National Football League, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Mike Tomlinson, they don't lose their damn mind chasing points. You know what they do? When if Andy thinks that he's got to play because it's something new, it's a new wrinkle, or he feels that they can really execute it and they're at the 50-yard line, then they'll go for it. And the only time he's going to go for it is a situation where the game is close. Like, mm-hmm. He went for it on the first time they hit the 50-yard line on Monday night. Why? Because the opposing team was, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were close. They scored a touchdown. The game was close. So then he went for it. But every other time, they pin the opponent, you know, down, and they make them go 70, 80 yards to get points, okay? They take points when points are available. How many times you see Harris Buckner run out there and kick field goals, or the kicker for, you know, the Steelers go out? You watch Mike Tomlin. He won a game. The Steelers won a game earlier this year. They kicked 5 field goals in one game and won 15 to something, okay? So that antiquated nonsense is BS, because the real good coaches, the coaches who have had longevity in this game, they use analytics and the go-for-it mentality only when there's an advantage. Mm. Like I said, there was no advantage of having 17 or 18 points. That's stupidity. Now you got 16, dummy.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I mean, some of the best coaches, and like you said, the longest tenure coaches, people tend to say are conservative, whether it be Shanahan, McVay, Reed. All I know is their teams win a lot and they score a lot of points almost every single week. All right, Seth, yesterday was the NFL trade deadline. Usually, Howie Roseman does something. Almost every year he adds something. Nothing yesterday. Seth, were you surprised? Did you think the Eagles should have made a move?
I was disappointed to see pass rushers moving for 5th, 6th, and 7th rounders, and we sat pat and weren't active in that area. And I get it. You know, Nick Sirianni is going to say, you know, I like our team. Vic Fangio is going to say, yeah, I'm pleased with what we got right now. But anybody who got eyes to see and anybody who knows football, and as a coach, that's what you're supposed to say, because now you're speaking to the players that you coach. So outwardly, you can't say that. But anybody who's got eyes to see and anybody who's watched the football team knows that they need a bona fide pass rusher. Za'Darius Smith would have looked fantastic here. And Joe, I agree with you. I would have gave up them 2 first-round draft picks if it would have got us Myles Garrett. You know, because
he didn't say Michael Parsons, though. He said Myles Garrett. He didn't say Michael Parsons.
I might have even gave him up for Michael Parsons.
Michael Parsons,
now,
come on.
See, Seth gets it. Seth gets it.
Hey, listen, Michael Parsons, 25 years old, man. You're going to get at least another 7-8 out of him. And guess what? You know, the culture is different in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
I would have got him up in here, get BG on him, man. You shut that damn podcast down. We here to win championships, bro. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's possible. Lane Johnson's voice is becoming louder and louder in that locker room now that Jason Kelce is gone, and now that Fletcher Cox is gone, speaking up, speaking between the lines. If you can read, it's they need a pass rusher, man.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, and Hassan, what they had was a guy that was bona fide. You knew that he was going to get you double digits, and you knew that he was going to show up in crunch time. Josh Sweat had a great week last week. But that was last week.
Mm.
We don't get that out of Josh every single week. We can't count on that out of Josh every single week. And we don't have that one guy that strikes fear in opposing offenses in crunch time. And I think that Howie, for all the good that he's done, putting this roster together, signing Saquon, so on and so forth, that was a mistake, him not getting an upgrade at the defensive end or the edge rusher position yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed when 4 o'clock came and the Eagles didn't make no move in that area whatsoever.
Me too, Seth. Seth, always appreciate having on. Have a great week. Enjoy Cowboys week and hopefully a good win on Sunday. We'll chat next week. Thank you, Seth.
Have a good one, man.
You got it, fellas.
There you go. Seth Joyner there. Disappointed. See, Seth brought it today. Disappointed in Howie Roseman. And I just got to say, after hearing Seth agree with me on the Parsons thing and the pass rusher thing,
You feel empowered.
Well, I just feel like we need to update the rankings here. Defensive players on this show, I'm one, you're two. I mean, that's clear now.
I mean, you know, I can't go against Seth's best. Seth has played a lot of football, but man. I tell you, I just feel like Michael Parsons, he disappears in the playoffs.
That's fine. And then we had our Parsons debate yesterday. But Seth even mentioned Za'Darius Smith, right? Like, this is why Kyle and I and football guys today around Philadelphia are frustrated. The Eagles could have gotten better yesterday, and instead they took the what hue do we have today? Sit it out or sit out Douglas?
Sit out Hugh. Do nothing Douglas.
How he acted like old do-nothing Douglas over here.
I wouldn't say, like, I think you can even take it a step further. Not only did other teams get better, but you can almost make an argument that the Eagles got worse because of all the other contenders getting better and us not.
Sure.
Like, the needle has moved further away from us and our chances to contend in the NFC.
But we're still the number one team in the NFC East.
No, we're not.
the number one team to come out of the East, though.
Well, no, we're not. We're in second place.
That's what the odds say. The odds makers know what they're talking about.
Well, hold on. The odds said in the beginning of the season the Commanders had no chance.
They also had Dallas at the top, didn't they?
What was Eagles and Dallas?
What are the odds?
Who cares about the odds?
Didn't nobody know Jalen Daniels going to hit the ground running like that.
Well,
some people did.
Some people around here.
Well, no, he was just throwing us something against the wall.
Now you're Mr. Gambler
guy, where you know everything about the betting market.
You know what?
I'm not going to lie, though. Joe was on the Commodores at the beginning of the season. I got to give my partner his props.
Guy wins one $2 parlay, and now all of a sudden he knows about the betting market.
Excuse me, I won a couple $2 parlays.
Oh, wow. How about that? All right, 215-592-94. High roller Douglas over here. All right, we need your phone calls. Where do you come down on the trade deadline? I thought Seth really hit it on the head there. The Eagles had a chance yesterday to get better. Seth Joyner disappointed they did. I'm disappointed too. I think Howie failed yesterday if the goal is to win the Super Bowl. Here's what I'm surprised about with you today.
What's that?
You have been adamant. We got a whole song for you. I mean, the one day you're telling Kyle play your song. To get to the Super Bowl, right? To go on this trip to New Orleans.
Yes.
And then yesterday, Howie with a chance to make the team better and give them a better chance at New Orleans. I don't know if he was napping, if he was scared.
Definitely wasn't napping.
Well,
I don't know what he was doing yesterday.
He did nothing. And today, I expected you to come on here and rip Howie Roseman and tell
him. Of course not.
Well, but don't you want to get to the Super Bowl?
I still feel like we're getting to the Super Bowl.
I have an agenda.
The agenda has not changed. He's bound and down. Thank you, Kyle. Wait a minute. No, I wasn't expecting that.
No, he didn't hit that button. You know who did? Howie hit that button by doing nothing yesterday.
No, it's still in play. Well, it's still in play.
But their chances didn't get better yesterday.
No, they did. I think they believe in the people that they have, and this team is getting better. This team is trending in the right direction. And Howie felt like he didn't have to make any moves. You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, you also don't know if the games against the Jaguars, Giants, and Browns are really indicative of how good they are. We don't know that.
Well, the game against the Jaguars gave people – we were feeling good at the beginning, but, boy, all them little nasty feelings came back towards
the end. They did.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know, just like an analogy I like to use. Like, say when you go out dancing with your girlfriend, and then she start twerking, and you be like, the twerk a little bit too much. You're doing too much. When she started dropping it like it's hot,
that's not
a good place to be in.
She was
all right when she was just two-stepping. Uh-huh. She was doing an electric slide. And then her song, then the Luke song came on, Shake What Your Mama Gave You.
And then it got.
And then she started, then it's like, hold up, that's too much. That's too much.
So,
pull it back.
Hold on. Are you, I just want to make sure I heard the analogy right. The analogy is, the twerking is like Sirianni going for two?
Yeah. He started twerking. Not saying coach was twerking.
Stop.
I'm just saying. It was like shaking what your mama gave you.
You're creating visuals that no one needs. All right. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Your reaction to the trade deadline. Eagles do nothing yesterday. Was it a failure? I believe it was. And we have ourselves a great prize. It's ComboCon here on the Midday Show for the next couple weeks, giving away a grand prize, including a 55-inch TV and a smoker courtesy of Jack Daniels and Gerhardt.
Smoker,
appliances.
It's
an incredible price. So today, to become a qualifier and win a great prize today, we're looking for an iconic duo. We've got some good ones so far. What do we have? Hugh and Gummies. We had MJ and Pippin.
Yes.
And we had Chewy and Han. So we got some good ones so far. Up next, Dan in Mullica Hill. Hey, Dan.
Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Dan. What's up?
Not much. Hey, you know, let me give you this number. $39.2 million. That's our cap space. Fifth in the league. I feel like if Howie felt like he needed to make a move, he could have. I think he's confident in this team that we got right now. You have a young team. I think with the pass rush, 2.8 sacks averaging a game, I think we're okay.
Dan came
and obviously,
stats.
Our defensive backs are getting it done, especially with Dean ending that Jaguars game. It's not the best game. I was there myself. I think that comes down to play calling. I think the players got done. I don't know if Sirianni got done. But definitely the players got done there.
So, Dan, I think it's interesting you brought up the sacks per game, right? Because that puts them, I think, probably near the top 10 in the NFL. But it's hard for me to parse. So many of those sacks came against the Giants and Browns. And then in the last couple games, I think they had one against Burrow or none. And then I'm trying to think of the sacks.
I think it was one against Burrow. How many times did they get Lawrence?
Twice or once?
True. I think twice. But, you know, that gives them confidence.
It should give them confidence. I'm just saying... are we getting fooled here by a couple games against horrific teams and horrific offensive lines? You know what I mean? Like, because the other games, they haven't looked like a good pass rush.
I think they're getting better.
If you look at Washington, people are kind of saying that they're looking a little better. You know, that last game really should have been a loss for them. They got real lucky with that Hail Mary from Jayden Daniels.
The Bears game. Yeah. They were down. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. I think that's more of a – that's a team I think that we can beat. I think at least we're neck and neck with them.
I agree. I think it'll come down to those two games. And look, I think there's a lot of reason to feel way better than a month ago. Like the young guys you mentioned on defense are playing better. I just was surprised how he didn't add anything. Like, you know, it's one thing to say that he doesn't think they need it, but it's out of character, Dan, I would say, for Howie to stand pat at the deadline.
I agree. No, listen, we like our mastermind. We like our mastermind in the back office. But I think he's just trying to make a statement. That's what I think he's doing.
I think he believes. Yeah.
You still believe in the
young Thundercats. There should be confidence to all of us.
Well, we could spin it that way. I mean, that's the Hugh Douglas spin. It's confidence that he believes in his team.
I like the do nothing Douglas. It's my favorite.
We have so many Hughes. All right, Dan, give us an iconic duo.
Listen, I'm a Philly guy. I'm going to say the Kelce brothers. I think
that's
a
good
duo
one.
Of
that is a good one.
It's a very good one,
and
it's a very current one. Dan,
pertinent.
We appreciate the call. Yeah, it's pertinent.
In the news.
Yeah, Jason will be on tomorrow with the morning show.
I got another Hugh.
What's that?
This is like blind faith Douglas. We get this a lot where he's like, I have to trust Howie, so I do. It's like,
no,
you don't have to.
I do have to trust.
No, you don't.
Howie, like, I sit here, like, I try to be practical in my takes for the most part.
Blind faith is not practical.
No, it's not. It's Howie has
it's a form
made,
of quite the opposite.
It's actually a form of coping.
It's not.
It is.
Now you're trying to use my own words against me. No, but what Howie has done in the past, now he's had some miscues last year. When he got fired up in here and all this other stuff.
That did not work.
I don't think that he's scarred in any means by that. I feel like Howie's a mastermind when it comes to things like this. What was it? The year he added Ndamukong Suh, he got the D tackle game going
2022
for
and Linval Joseph, yeah.
Yeah, he got the tackles. He went out and he got positions that were of need and put us in the position to be successful.
Well, why didn't he do that now?
Because I feel like I'm trying to channel my inner Howie here. I feel like he feels that this team is moving in the right direction.
So that is
these takes are not just
but
willy
you don't
nilly,
have,
Joe.
If you
these
don't have
are
to
not
necessarily
willy nilly
agree
takes.
With that.
I do agree with that.
Okay, well that's
because
different.
Because I try to channel my inner Howie and
I think that's the wrong way to go.
Well, let me channel my inner Howie and counter your inner Howie. Okay,
what
all
you got?
These
we got
Howies
these all these Howies running around.
If he believed in the team, he would have added to it.
100%, man.
Maybe Howie.
Not necessarily.
Well, not in yours. I can say it's in the yours, not necessarily.
No, not necessarily. You believe in the talent that you have in the trajectory that they're going.
No, my point. No, I'm sure he believes in some of the guys he drafted. My point is, if he believed he had a Super Bowl team, he'd add to it.
Yeah.
Every other time they've been close, he adds. Why yesterday he sat it out, I don't know.
I think because he feels that he has a Super Bowl.
I want to be clear. I trust Howie Roseman. But I don't have blind faith to where that every single move he makes, I agree with and think it's the right one. I am very heavily questioning his lack of activity at the trade deadline yesterday.
I
could ultimately be wrong, Hugh, but like at the end of the day, I have to look at it and based on what I wanted going in, I didn't get that. I'm disappointed
in that.
That's
because you're never satisfied, number one, Kyle. You're never satisfied.
Different conversation.
Also, you're never satisfied. You make it sound like there's parade after parade down Broad Street.
No, I'm not trying to make it sound like that. I'm just trying to be practical in the way that I think. I feel like every time that there's any trade deadline that comes around, that regardless of what the situation is, we're never going to be happy as a fan base. And that's cool. But I'm here, and my job is to not be as irrational as you people are being.
Excuse me?
Yes, that's my job.
Irrational,
no.
You people.
Yeah, you people. Because I sit here every day and I try to think the way that you're not thinking.
This is a joke, quite
frankly.
And
that's why I say what I say.
This is such a do-nothing Douglas. All right, 215-592-9494. Wait, all your phone calls coming up on the other side. Trade deadline yesterday, Howie did nothing. Every team in the NFL that has a 6-2 or better record, and there's quite a few, added something. The Eagles did nothing. I think it was a failure. I think Howie Roseman showed his hands yesterday. I don't think he really believes this is a Super Bowl team, and it's disappointing. 215-592-9494. Your calls. We need an iconic duo. Iconic duos here for your chance to be entered for the grand prize, a smoker TV. What an incredible incredible grand prize we're giving away in the next couple weeks. And speaking of disappointing, our favorite Eagles podcaster weighed in on his head coach and his in-game decisions. We'll play you some audio from Slay on that next. 215-592-949 for Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pardon me. I can't see.
I mean, it really will hit.
He's trying to be what he's destined to be.
It will hit when this plays at the Super Bowl. I mean, it will.
No, it will. It's going to be everything's going to come full circle for him.
It will. Now, I would have felt better about that being a reality if
and
they
he's
actually
going to talk bad about the media, how they said all the mean and hurtful
things about that former Eagle on the Midday Show crushed him.
You know, I have a theory about the Sirianni thing and the hair and all that. We're now 4 weeks removed from
that's about right.
The head shave, and things were going up and up and up. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they seem like they hit snag. The hair's growing back.
Is that what it is?
He's got to cut it again.
He totally does. He mentioned publicly that his wife's not the biggest fan of the hair that short. Well, we got to decide what's more important here, wins or personal stuff.
There must be something with the amount of hair like closing in on his brain, making it heavy up there.
You think that's what Sunday was?
More freedom.
Yeah. Better decisions. That's my motto.
Let it breathe.
Less hair, better decisions. That's the Midday Show's logic. All right, 215-592-9490. We're looking for iconic duos today for our big, huge. I mean, this is, would you say, the biggest giveaway in life?
Ever.
Ever.
Yes, and ever. In life.
In life, the history of the Midday Show. Well,
all of that.
Yeah, it's going on for the next couple weeks. We started yesterday. It's called ComboCon, the ultimate tailgate giveaway. Ultimately, by the end, we're giving away, a Yeti cooler,
Yeti,
a cornhole set, giant Jenga, smoker, and a 55-inch TV. That will be our grand prize winner. You could be qualified today, and the winner today and every day for the next couple weeks wins Jack Daniels rock glasses, water bottle, golf tee pack, playing cards, smoking chips, and a tote bag. We're looking today for the most iconic duo. It's a fun topic. 215-592-9495. All right, before we go back to the phones and all things Eagles, Hugh's trying to cope I don't even know what he's doing today, trying to pretend that the Eagles, shouldn't have done more yesterday. They did nothing at the deadline. Kyle and I are obviously not happy about it. Darius Slay, although he didn't play on Sunday, he wanted to chime in on the head coach we were just talking about. Here's Slay in the podcast on Sirianni's in-game decisions.
I ain't going to say it's really bad on offense, because we like our coach to be aggressive. I know a lot of guys be like, oh man, coach should take the points. Coach should do this. Coach should do that. Da 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 da. We okay with going for it on fourth down because we got guys that we trust and believe that could get the play done. You know what I'm saying? Not too long ago, we played the Giants. 4th and 3. And y'all know what happened on that 4th and 3. Tuck. You know where it hurts throwing that mother AJ on the go ball. Tuck. You know what I'm saying? So we cool with it. And you know what I'm saying? I can't say the Jacksonville Jaguars played the Snoopy, the best I ever seen a team play it, because I think we even convert now, maybe one, and that's rare. And we've been doing the Snoopy for so long, and guys didn't stop it. I got to commend them. They stopped it, and everybody probably complained about the 2 points.
I guess the 2 point, the tush push
is the Snoopy?
That's what he called. I guess that's their name for it.
We're putting a ban on that right now. What are you talking about?
The Snoopy.
Never been a thing.
I was trying to, I heard it the first time. I'm like, what is he talking about? What is the Snoopy? So he defended Sirianni there. I have one thing I need to say, though, about the trust thing. Sirianni said this the other day. I think he said it to his press conference. And by the way, the Sirianni press conference coming up in about a half hour, we'll play it for you. But he said it at his last press conference. I think he said it with Joe and John. He likes to use the term, trust is the reason he goes for the fourth downs, right? Mm-hmm. He trusts his players. He trusts Jalen. He trusts AJ, whatever. But if when he says that, does that mean the next time he doesn't go for it?
He doesn't trust him.
Right. Like when you kind of open the can of worms to, I'm doing this because I trust my players. Well, what happens if you decide not to go for it on Sunday against the Cowboys?
I think, you know what's funny about that? And I think back to when I played, that was something that you didn't have to tell anybody. You just knew that whatever coach called, he felt good about the position that he was putting you in.
Sure.
As a defender. If we go for it on 4th and 1, he doesn't have to say, hey, Hugh, I trust you guys. He doesn't have to tell you that. He's telling you that by the play.
The action. Yeah,
and,
the action.
And I think if he doesn't go for it, that doesn't say that he doesn't trust me. That, to me, says that he's doing what's best for that situation. So I guess you know what it is? It's, to me, when I hear them speak, I feel like they're going above and beyond trying to defend everything that coach does instead of just being honest about the situation. Because as a former player, I've never been in a game where only time that I ever felt like I wasn't trusted was when Donovan got hurt, Corey got hurt, and I think AJ Philly had to go in And I remember Joe Banner running into the locker room and talking about, well, you said he was belligerent, you know, and I like Joe, but he was all nervous about the fact that all our quarterbacks got hurt. And I remember sitting in the locker room. I'm like, we're still here. Like, we can, you know, we're a part of this team, and there's no need to panic or anything like that.
Basically, you were saying the defense will hold it down.
Yeah, we did. But to go above and beyond trying to defend everything that coach does, I just think it's a little bit too much. I do.
I feel like his biggest mistake is explaining it away by just being like, I'm always going to trust my guys.
Yep.
Like, he should have stopped after he said, I'm going to make the decision that I think is best for the team.
That's it.
At that time.
Yeah.
That's the end of it.
Because I know it's going to happen. There's going to be a moment in the next few weeks he's not going to go for a fourth down or a two-point or whatever.
Right.
Like an area that he's done it before.
And then it's going to be the question, well, hey, did you not trust your team in that right. situation?
But let's use Jalen just as because he's the quarterback. They're not going to go for a fourth down on offense. And then after the game, one of the reporters is going to say, did you not trust Jalen in that spot? And he's then what?
Right.
Like, you're caught then.
Yeah.
Like, well, I do trust him, but like it just.
I think it's a mistake for him to lean on. I'm always going to make, or for any coach to say, I'm always going to make the aggressive decision, or I'm always going to make the conservative decision. Concern yourself with making the right decision, not the decision that ends up with the successful result, because you don't know what that is. But make the decision that is best in that moment, in that game, for your team. Not always the conservative, not always the aggressive, the right one.
Well, and the reality is this. Fans ultimately only care if the decision is right. This has always been, when we do baseball stuff with in-game decisions at bullpen, no one cares
yeah.
why Topper goes to this reliever. They care, did that reliever get an out?
And I've been saying this for weeks. And nobody is hearing it, especially Coach Seattle, who's listening to the show. The more information that you offer up, the worse you make it for yourself, Coach, because now we're sitting here piecing together and talking about everything that you tell us. We don't need to know everything, because now you've put yourself in a position where everything you say
mm-hmm.
is going to be overanalyzed. The simple fact that you put it out there that you trust your guy, you don't need to tell us that. They know that. You tell them that every week when you're in that locker room, when you have that breakdown. We hear it. You don't need to take that to the press conference. Because the only thing you're doing is adding more fuel to the fire when you don't do something that you said you do.
Yeah, it is. And look, Slay and the players, they defend him and they back him, and that's great. But the bottom line is, like, just make the right call, put the team in the right spot, and people will be fine with it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Kyle and I need help to get Hugh to change his mind on this. I mean, the fact that Hugh's okay.
Not going
to
do it.
With this idea
Never
of a quiet
it.
Deadline by Howie Roseman. It's rough. I mean, you were the guy. You were supposed to be leading this bus trip to New Orleans.
And I'm still on it. And you know what's funny about that, though? I wasn't leading a bus trip. I was hanging out with a friend of mine, and then y'all
commandeered
and made it a bus trip.
I'm sorry about that, but we have a bus trip now. You're leading it, and yesterday the Eagles said,
We have an agenda to change your agenda.
It's all about agendas here. John's in Brumall. Hey, John.
John, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
He absolutely had to do something yesterday. I don't agree with that the team is good enough. There's no way. They're not good enough to beat Kansas City. They're not good enough to beat Detroit. You know, and I don't even think they're good enough to beat Washington. I think they're going to lose them games, tell you the truth.
Well, they might. And Don, if they do that, then we're talking about a wild card at best. And it's an uphill climb to try to, you know,
win playoffs.
I don't
know if I believe that when they won't beat Washington, though. Come on, man. Washington almost lost to the Chicago Bears.
We almost lost the Jaguars.
Yeah, we always
yeah,
lose
we
to Washington.
Did almost lost
it
to
seems
Chicago
like every
Bears.
Year, even last I mean, year and the year before that, we still split with them at least. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, but that's
and Washington made moves, and we did.
That's the division. Like, you can't name me any year, whenever the Eagles were good or bad, that they didn't split in the division. I mean, that's just that's your division rival. That right. happens.
Right. Yeah, but they have weaknesses, and they know they have weaknesses deep down inside. And the thing is, with this team, I blame Howie Roseman for years of not drafting the proper people. He a lot of draft bust. He has some good ones every once in a while. He's lucky, and he'll get a first-round pick that amounts to something. But the majority of the time, how many times has he's been around too long? They should have got rid of Roseman years ago.
Well, I think John, I think he does a good job. I'm a Howie guy, but I just this is bizarre, John, because if this is not his MO. Usually he's very aggressive, and every time they have a team that's pretty good, he adds. It's just this one caught me off guard. All right, John, give us an iconic duo. Who you got?
Sonny and Cher.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a big one, John. That's a really good answer. All right, John's in the mix. Sonny and Cher.
She's still doing her thing, man.
What do you mean by that?
I'm just saying she's performing. She's having relations. She's doing her thing. she's still doing her thing, and she still looks great. What? I'm just saying. You asked me. What you thought I was gonna not answer the question? You wanted some clarity?
I just.
What? I don't understand.
Let's go to Jimmy and Bridgeport. I need a second. Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, guys, man.
Hey, Jimmy.
First of all, I want to tell you, the three of you are so entertaining, man. I love the show. First time, long time. And you were absolutely one of my favorite ballers ever.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Jimmy. And Hugh used to know football, Jimmy. Remember that? he used to know football?
Well, let me tell you this one. It's too much. I mean, the way he talks under his breath sometimes when certain callers are being stupid, I almost run off the road. It's unbelievable.
We don't have any stupid callers. Just callers that I don't agree with for the most part.
All the callers we have that disagree with you are brilliant.
We love our callers.
Go ahead, Jimmy. What are you thinking?
So what I'm thinking is 100% I agree that I'm disappointed not making a move yesterday. The way I look at it, you know, some of the things that Howie did in 2017, some of the ballers he brought onto that team, it made a difference. They were true ballers on the field, and they were a presence in a locker room. And I think if you brought somebody in like that with the way this defense is playing right now, you could take that defense to the next level, and I think he missed an opportunity. Just how I feel.
Yeah, I think, Jimmy, that's a good way to put it. Yesterday was an opportunity to get better. And it's one thing if it was a year where no one is making moves and it's like a quiet deadline. But most of the teams, Jimmy, that are contenders or at least, you know, have a good record, they added something. Like, even if it was just marginal, they tried to get better and we sat it out.
100%. I mean, they see that opportunity. They know where they're at, 6-2, 7-1, wherever they're at. And they said, hey, you know what? Let's spend a little bit of money. Let's bring another guy into this locker room, onto this field, and take a shot. And Howie didn't do that yesterday.
No, he didn't. Jimmy, give us a great iconic duo. Who you got?
Okay, these guys are truly iconic, and they got one of the most epic skits ever. Who's on first? Abbott and Costello.
Oh, you went old school with that one.
That is a good one.
We've got some big ones here. Jimmy, appreciate the phone. I mean, the last three, the Kelce brothers, Sonny and Cher, Abbott and Costello, Hugh. I mean, those...
Hey, yo, Abbott. I used to watch those movies every Saturday, whatever movie they were in.
Yeah.
You know, like the Mummy, Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy or whatever it was, but yeah.
We got some answers so far that are going to be, it's going to be a difficult debate for us by the end of the show to give away today's prize. 215-592-9494. You see that? I mean, the more people that chime in here, the more it's time for you to change your position.
Nah, I'm not. I'm okay with it because I try to be a forward thinker. I think a lot of people... Like, you know, you guys are kind of stuck in the past and you're letting all these past relationships and past heartbreaks hold you back.
No, we're trying to get better.
No, but I think we are better. I think we're getting better every week.
How did we get better when we did nothing?
They stood
pat. Because the guys are getting better. Defense is getting better. Your defense, the ones that y'all made me decide to cut my beard off for, held the Jaguars 16 points. What else do you want?
Stink.
More.
Yes.
Okay, well, they got another game coming. They got Dallas Cowboys.
Right, but now the trade deadline's over. Yeah, so
other
we can't
teams
did
it.
Let them cook. Let them eat. Let them young cats eat. Let the young Thundercats do what
didn't
they do.
Didn't we just do this with the Phillies?
Didn't we just say?
This is the Yohan
Ross.
See, that's what it is.
No, see, that's what it is for y'all. Y'all got PTSD.
It should be for everyone.
Because of the Phillies.
But we tried this. We piecemealed it. Austin Hayes. Maybe Brandon Marshall hit lefties. Maybe Yohan Rojas is actually an offensive player.
Was it Nolan Smith trending as a bust about a few weeks ago?
Yes.
Now he's considered, like, now he's one of everybody's favorite Eagles. Wasn't the Kobe Dean trending as a bust?
Yeah.
Now he's everybody's favorite Eagle.
But no one wanted to get rid of those guys. I want to add to the mix.
And they're playing well. And he's healthy. Favorite Eagle.
You're just overlooking the ad.
I ain't overlooking nothing.
You just like the Eagles. Overlooking adding to the mix.
I ain't overlooking nothing. I'm trying to get you people correct.
All I know is this. Yesterday, the Kansas City, over the last couple of weeks, the Chiefs got better. The Lions got better. The Bills got better.
They needed a receiver, though.
We needed stuff.
They needed. We,
why?
We,
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice to have something, but we didn't need anything.
To win the Super Bowl?
No, we good. We good. We still going to Louisiana. Still going. Southbound and down.
I will say this. I do not feel as good today as I did a couple days ago about the Eagles' chances. I watched the Lions get better. I watched the
because you're a habitual grass watcher.
I am.
You like to watch other people's
grass. I'm staring at grass. Okay? I am locked in. We keep talking about the Super Bowl. I don't even know if we're going to win our division.
I think we will.
Ah.
I know we will.
You know we will?
Yeah, I'm about to put a bet on it. Parlay. Win the division.
What are you going to parlay with? Another division winner? You could do that.
Man, what's up? I'm gonna say, okay. Detroit Lions.
Well, that's well, it's not as chalky as I would say the Bills, who are up like four games of division. Yeah. All right, so you want to do Lions, Eagles, and what else? You do a three-teamer?
I'll do three. Do
you hear that? Hugh knows they're going to win the NFC East. He knows.
You don't
that.
Know a damn thing.
I'm thinking about being a little, you know, thinking outside. Maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, so what are you doing here? You're doing an Lions, Eagles, Steelers division winners parlay?
Yeah.
All right, you want to know
the Steelers are going to take that division from the Ravens?
I'm being a Mac.
No, you're going to give your money to the
$2
betting sites. Yeah.
Two whole dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm right.
I mean, $2 wins about $14 here.
Now I need to juice up that parlay.
You got to juice it up.
I need to. Okay. I can't pick out of the West. I can't pick it.
Well, that's how you juice it up.
Yeah,
well,
but I can't pick the Rams.
Why?
Though.
Why?
Because I picked them not go to the playoffs.
Throw the Cardinals in there.
I'll throw the Cardinals.
All right, four-teamer. And then okay. See, now you're cooking. All right, four-teamers. Steelers, Eagles, Lions, Cardinals, division winner parlay. It's 25-1. $2 wins $50.
I'll take that.
Right.
That's a coat right there.
Yeah, there we
Anything
go.
Anything that puts me in that coat area, I'm good
Hugh's
with
Hugh's got a coat. Tom and Willow Grove is up. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Tom. What's up, buddy?
Not much, man. I'm just driving to Scranton right now. If I lose you under the tunnel, I apologize.
We'll blame Hugh for it. No worries,
yeah,
Tom.
Fault.
Go ahead.
It'd be my fault.
Always on you. But, yeah, I agree totally. You know, we should have made some type of move, especially on a defensive line, just to give some guys some breaks and rest, you know, for the second half of the season.
Yeah, Tom, I think that what you just said there is an important one. Like, the Eagles probably didn't have a super huge glaring hole. Like, you know, they have nobody at safety or nobody at pass rush or no one defensive line. But that's a big part of it, right? Keeping everyone fresh down the stretch. Tom, I go back to 2017. They didn't need a running back. They had LeGarrette Blount. They had Corey Clement. But they added Jay Ajayi to the mix, and it helped.
Right. Yeah, look at that fresh, Clement down the sideline
yep.
for the pass. He's not in there if we don't make that move.
I totally agree, Tom. It's you have to almost get ahead of it instead of just, you know, waiting to see if there's a hole. It was a bizarre trade deadline, Tom. Howie's usually way aggressive, and it felt like this time he just sat it out. All right, Tom, give us an iconic duo. What do you got?
How about Bonnie and Clyde?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, we said iconic, and the people are bringing some iconic duos. Tom, we appreciate the phone call. Bonnie and Clyde, you see? See, you say you're pragmatic. I think Tom was pragmatic there. He was talking about trying to get ahead of the issues. Get a guy so if you have an injury or someone wears down, you've got more options.
I mean, but you always take that chance, man. But I look at it like this. Because I know a big talk yesterday was the running back
yep.
position. How do we know Will don't have a running back on the team that can get it done? How do we know Will Shipley can't be
that
change of pace? How do we know? We drafted him.
He does have burst.
How do we not know? He had a touchdown and we got called back. How do we not know if we don't give him a chance? You know, and
you
I look at it
chance?
Like, would I give him a chance? Yeah.
No, I'm all for it. Well, now you're kind of forced to.
No, I mean, I would.
I would have liked to have had a better trade deadline.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So I understand what Hugh's point just was, and you're talking about a rookie, right? And
yeah.
You've also brought up Nolan Smith. I'm telling you, my theory is if you gave truth serum to Howie Roseman, you know where his eyes are?
Where?
2025.
You think so?
I don't. But they didn't.
Nah.
They're playing young players. They're going to roll with young guys. That's not how you usually win a Super Bowl.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs won doing that. Where they play the young corners.
Mahomes.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, you're right. And they're hoping that at some point you could put more on your quarterback's plate. Like, you know what? To be totally honest, full disclosure. We solve all these problems. Everything that we're talking about with the defense, the offense, the fact that Saquon Barkley is running the ball as much as he is.
Yep.
We solve all these problems if we do one thing. You know what that one thing is?
Throw the ball more efficiently.
And put a little bit more on the quarterback's plate.
I agree. But they seem to be taking it away from him.
But, again, We're halfway through the season now. Who's to say that Jalen Hurts doesn't progress and takes all of that pressure off of everybody? Because that's the answer right there, Joe.
I agree with you. And he might, but the evidence says week by week they're asking to do less and less.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I think part of that. But I think even though last week looked the way that it did, I think that there's some light at the end of the tunnel. A little bit of light. Not a whole lot. I'm not about to sit here and lie to nobody. But there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Jahan Dotson or Sasquatch. Because that's what he is. He hasn't been seen.
I'm supposed to feel better because Jahan Dotson made a circus catch.
I'm just trying to give you a little bit of hope here. That's all I'm doing. Because if you've been following me and listening to these gems that I've been dropping on the stage the last couple of weeks, I'm the one that kind of told you. The one that kind of told you that when Sirianni, Coach Sirianni, that is, had his Britney Spears moment, that this was going to be a rallying cry. Was I wrong?
No.
Okay. So follow me here.
So you got one right.
I got more than one right. I'm the guy that hit the eight-leg parlay. Let's not forget.
I'm trying to forget.
Let's not forget.
We're all trying to forget.
I hit an eight-leg parlay not too long ago. So I know what I'm doing. Whether you believe me or not, I know what I'm doing. I don't know why you laughing. Has anybody else in here hit an eight-legger?
Yes.
When?
Dude. Hugh, some of us didn't just start gambling last week.
When did you hit an eight-legger?
Hugh, I've hit bigger than eight-leggers before.
Not this week? No, you didn't. Yes, you got to show me. I can show you mine.
I also have to remind
you. I can show you some insane bet slips, buddy.
Can I remind you also something?
You'll have to bend your knee to my knowledge.
A broken clock is right twice a day, all right?
I hit an eight-legger in the last couple weeks. I don't know nobody else can say that.
What does that have to do with the Eagles trading for
somebody? Because I'm right. I'm telling you what I'm talking about.
I told you so, Douglas.
You need to stop believing.
I told you so, Douglas, and Bat Bleep Crazy Douglas are meeting right now. 215-592-9494. All right, Nick Sirianni is going to speak at 12:10. I can tell you what he's going to say. We're happy with the team we got. We believe in our guys. And I'm telling you, the truth is how we looked at the team and said 2025 is actually here. We'll carry the Sirianni press conference in its entirety coming up. Your calls on yesterday's deadline. Are you disappointed that Howie didn't make a move? I am. Kyle is. Hugh's living in Cope World over here. And iconic duos of people, the best iconic duos, will win a prize today. Your chance for the grand prize as well, which includes a smoker and a 55-inch TV, courtesy of Gerhard's Appliances and Jack Daniels. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
talk bad about the media, how they said all the mean and hurtful
things about that former Eagle on the Midday Show crushed him.
You know, I have a theory about the Sirianni thing and hair and all that. We're now like, what, 4 weeks removed from
That's about right.
The head shave, and things were going up and up and up. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they seemed like they hit a snag. The hair's growing back.
Is that what it is?
He's got to cut it again.
He totally does. Again, you know, he mentioned publicly that his wife's not the biggest fan of the hair that short. Well, we got to decide what's more important here, wins or personal stuff.
Like, there must be something with the amount of hair, like, closing in on his brain, making it heavy up there.
You think that's what Sunday was?
He needs more freedom.
Yeah. Better decisions. That's my motto.
Let it breathe.
Less hair, better decisions. That's the Midday Show's logic. All right, 215-592-9494. We're looking for iconic duos today for our big, huge... I mean, this is, would you say, the biggest giveaway in life?
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah, it's an ever. In life.
In life, the history of the Midday Show.
Well, all of that.
Yeah, it's going on for the next couple weeks. We started yesterday. It's called ComboCon, the ultimate tailgate giveaway. Ultimately, by the end, we're giving away, listen, it's a Yeti cooler,
Yeti,
a cornhole set, giant Jenga, smoker, and a 55-inch TV. That will be our grand prize winner. You could be qualified today, and the winner today and every day for the next couple weeks wins Jack Daniels rock glasses, water bottle, golf tee pack, playing cards, smoking chips, and a tote bag. We're looking today for the most iconic duo. It's a fun topic. 215-592-949. All right, before we go back to the phones and all things Eagles, Hugh's trying to cope or, you know, I don't even know what he's doing today, trying to pretend that the Eagles, you know, shouldn't have done more yesterday. They did nothing at the deadline. Kyle and I are obviously not happy about it. Darius Slay, although he didn't play on Sunday, he wanted to chime in on the head coach we were just talking about. Here's Slay on the podcast on Sirianni's in-game decisions.
I ain't going to say it's really bad on offense, because we like our coach to be aggressive. I know a lot of guys be like, oh, man, coach should take the points. Coach should do this. Coach should do that. Da-da-da-da-da. We okay with going forward on fourth down because we got guys that we trust and believe that could get the play done. You know what I'm saying? Not too long ago, we played the Giants. Fourth and three. And y'all know what happened on that fourth and three. Tuck. You know where it hurts throwing that mother AJ on the go ball. Tuck. You know what I'm saying? So we cool with it. And you know what I'm saying? I can say the Jacksonville Jaguars played the Snoopy, the best I ever seen a team play it, because I think we even convert now, maybe one, and that's rare. And we've been doing the Snoopy for so long, and guys didn't stop it. I got to commend them. They stopped it, you know, and everybody probably complained about the 2 points.
The two-point push
is the Snoopy?
That's what he called. I guess that's their name for it.
We're putting a ban on that right now. What are you talking about?
The Snoopy.
Never been a thing.
I was trying to, like, I heard it the first time. I'm like, what is he talking about? What is the Snoopy? So he defended Sirianni there. I have one thing I need to say, though, about the trust thing. Sirianni said this the other day. I think he said it to, his press conference. And by the way, the Sirianni press conference coming up in about a half hour, we'll play it for you. But he said at his last press conference, I think he said it with Joe and John. He likes to use the term, trust is the reason he goes for the fourth downs, right? Mm-hmm. He trusts his players. He trusts Joe and he trusts AJ, whatever. But if when he says that, does that mean the next time he doesn't go for it?
He doesn't trust him.
Right, like when you kind of open the can of worms to, I'm doing this because I trust my players. Well, what happens if you decide not to go for it on Sunday against the Cowboys?
I think, you know what's funny about that, and I think back to when I played, that was something that you didn't have to tell anybody. You just knew that whatever coach called, he felt good about the position that he was putting you in.
Sure.
As a defender. If we go for it on fourth and one, he doesn't have to say, hey, Hugh, I trust you guys. He doesn't have to tell you that. He's telling you that by the play.
The action. Yeah, the action.
And I think if he doesn't go for it, that doesn't say that he doesn't trust me. That, to me, says that he's doing what's best for that situation. So I guess, you know what it is? It's, to me, when I hear them speak, I feel like they're going above and beyond trying to defend everything that coach does instead of just being honest about the situation. Because as a former player, I've never been in a game where only time that I ever felt like I wasn't trusted was when Donovan got hurt, Corey got hurt, and I think AJ Philly had to go in. And I remember Joe Banner running into the locker room and talking about, well, you said he was belligerent, you know, and I like Joe, but he was all nervous about the fact that all our quarterbacks got hurt. And I remember sitting in the locker room. I'm like, we're still here. I was like, we're still here. Like, we can, you know, we're a part of this team, and there's no need to panic or anything like that.
Basically, you were saying the defense will hold it down.
Yeah, we did. But to go above and beyond trying to defend everything that coach does, I just think it's a little bit too much. I do.
I feel like his biggest mistake is explaining it away by just being like, I'm always going to trust my guys.
Yep.
Like, he should have stopped after he said, I'm going to make the decision that I think is best for the team.
That's it.
At that time.
Yeah.
That's the end of it.
Because I know it's going to happen. There's going to be a moment in the next few weeks he's not going to go for a fourth down or a 2-point or whatever.
Right.
Like an area that he's done it before.
And then it's going to be the question, but hey, did you not trust your team in that situation?
But let's use Jalen because he's the quarterback. They're not going to go for a fourth down on offense. And then after the game, one of the reporters is going to say, did you not trust Jalen in that spot? And he's then what?
Right.
Like, you're caught then.
Yeah.
Like, well, I do trust him, but like, it just.
I think it's a mistake for him to lean on. I'm always going to make, or for any coach to say, I'm always going to make the aggressive decision, or I'm always going to make the conservative decision. Concern yourself with making the right decision, not the decision that ends up with the successful result, because you don't know what that is. But make the decision that is best in that moment, in that game, for your team. Not always the conservative, not always the aggressive, the right one.
Well, and the reality is this. Fans ultimately only care if the decision is right. This has always been, when we do baseball stuff with in-game decisions at bullpen, no one cares why Topper goes to this reliever. They care, did that reliever get an out?
And I've been saying this for weeks, and nobody is hearing it, especially Coach Sirianni, who's listening to the show. The more information that you offer up, the worse you make it for yourself, Coach, because now we're sitting here piecing together and talking about everything that you tell us. We don't need to know everything, because now you've put yourself in a position where everything you say is going to be overanalyzed. The simple fact that you put it out there that you trust your guy, you don't need to tell us that. They know that. You tell them that every week when you're in that locker room, when you have that breakdown. We hear it. You don't need to take that to the press conference. Because the only thing you're doing is adding more fuel to the fire when you don't do something that you said you do.
Yeah, it is. And look, Slay and the players, they defend him and they back him, and that's great. But the bottom line is, like, just make the right call, put the team in the right spot, and people will be fine with it. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Kyle and I need help to get Hugh to change his mind on this. I mean, the fact that Hugh's okay.
Not going
to
do it.
With this idea
never
of
gonna
a
do
quiet
it.
Deadline by Howie Roseman. It's rough. I mean, you were the guy. You were supposed to be leading this bus trip to New Orleans.
And I'm still on it. And you know what's funny about that, though? I wasn't leading a bus trip. I was hanging out with a friend of mine, and then y'all
commandeered
and made it a bus trip.
I'm sorry about that, but we have a bus trip now. You're leading it, and yesterday the Eagles said,
We have an agenda to change your agenda.
It's all about agendas here. John's in Brumall. Hey, John.
John, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, he absolutely had to do something yesterday. I don't agree with that the team is good enough. There's no way. They're not good enough to beat Kansas City. They're not good enough to beat Detroit. You know, and I don't even think they're good enough to beat Washington. I think they're going to lose them games, tell you the truth.
Well, they might. And Don, if they do that, then we're talking about a wild card at best. And it's an uphill climb to try to, you know,
I don't know
win
if I believe that one they won't beat Washington, though. Come on, man. Washington almost lost to the Chicago Bears.
We almost lost to the Jaguars.
Yeah, we always lose to Washington.
Almost lost
it seems
Chicago
like every
Bears.
Year, even last I mean, year and the year before that, we still split with them at least. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, but that's
and Washington made moves, and we
did. That's the division. Look, you can't name me any year, whenever the Eagles were good or bad, that they didn't split in the division. I mean, that's just that's your division rival. That right. happens.
Right. Yeah, but they have weaknesses, and they know they have weaknesses deep down inside. Man. And the thing is with this team, I blame Howie Roseman for years of not drafting the proper people. He a lot of draft busts. He has some good ones every once in a while. He's lucky, and he'll get a first-round pick that amounts to something. But the majority of the time, how many times has he's been around too long? They should have got rid of Roseman years ago.
Well, I think John does a good job. I'm a Howie guy, but this is bizarre, John, because this is not his MO. Usually he's very aggressive, and every time they have a team that's pretty good, he adds. It's just this one caught me off guard. All right, John, give us an iconic duo. Who you got?
Sonny and Cher.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a big one, John. That's a really good answer. All right, John's in the mix. Sonny and Cher.
She's still doing her thing, man.
What do you mean by that?
I'm just saying she's performing. She's, you know, still, you know, having relations. She's doing her thing. she's still doing her thing, and she still looks great. What? I'm just saying. You asked me. What you thought I was going to not answer the question? You wanted some clarity?
I just.
What? I don't understand.
Let's go to Jimmy and Prince, bro. I need a second. Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, guys, man.
Hey, Jimmy.
First of all, I want to tell you, the three of you are so entertaining, man. I love the show. First time, long time. And you were absolutely one of my favorite ballers ever.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate it, Jimmy. And Hugh used to know football, Jimmy. Remember that when he used to know football?
Well, let me tell you this one. It's too much. I mean, the way he talks under his breath sometimes when certain callers are being stupid, I almost run off the road. It's unbelievable.
We don't have any stupid callers. Just callers that I don't agree with for the most part.
All the callers we have that disagree with you are brilliant.
We love our callers.
Go ahead, Jimmy. What are you thinking?
So what I'm thinking is 100% I agree that I'm disappointed not making a move yesterday. The way I look at it, you know, some of the things that Howie did in 2017, some of the ballers he brought onto that team, it made a difference. They were true ballers on the field, and they were a presence in a locker room. And I think if you brought somebody in like that with the way this defense is playing right now, you could take that defense to the next level, and I think he missed an opportunity. Just how I feel.
Yeah, I think, Jimmy, that's a good way to put it. Yesterday was an opportunity to get better. And it's one thing if it was a year where no one is making moves and it's like a quiet deadline, but most of the teams, Jimmy, that are contenders, or at least, you know, have a good record, they added something. Even if it was just marginal, they tried to get better, and we sat it out.
100%. I mean, they see that opportunity. They know where they're at, 6-2, 7-1, wherever they're at. And they said, hey, you know what? Let's spend a little bit of money. Let's bring another guy into this locker room, onto this field, and take a shot. And Howie didn't do that yesterday.
No, he didn't. Jimmy, give us a great iconic duo. Who you got?
Okay, these guys are truly iconic, and they got one of the most epic ever. Who's on first? Abbott and Costello.
Oh, you went old school with that one. That is a good one.
We've got some big ones here. Jimmy, appreciate the phone. I mean, the last three, the Kelce brothers, Sonny and Cher, Abbott and Costello. Hugh, I mean, those.
Hey, yo, Abbott. I used to watch those movies every Saturday, whatever movie they were in.
Yeah.
You know, like the Mummy, Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy or whatever it was, but yeah.
We got some answers so far that are going to be, it's going to be a difficult debate for us by the end of the show to give away today's prize. 215-592-9494. You see that? I mean, the more people that chime in here, the more it's time for you to change your position.
Nah, I'm not. I'm okay with it because I try to be a forward thinker. I think a lot of people, like, you know, you guys are kind of stuck in the past. You're letting all these past relationships and past heartbreaks hold you back.
No, we're trying to get better.
No, but I think we are better. I think we're getting better every week.
How did we get better when we did nothing?
They stood pat.
Because the guys are getting better. Defense is getting better. Your defense, the ones that y'all made me decide to cut my beard off for, held the Jaguars 16 points. What else do you want?
Stink.
More.
Yes.
Okay, well, they got another game coming. They got Dallas Cowboys.
Right, but now the trade deadline's over, so
other
we can't
teams did let them cook. Let them eat. Let them young cats eat. Let the young Thundercats do what
they
do.
Didn't we just do this with the Phillies?
Didn't we just say?
This is the Yohan
Rojas.
That's what it is.
No, see, that's what it is for y'all. Y'all got PTSD.
It should be for everyone.
Because of the Phillies.
But we tried this. We piecemealed it. Austin Hayes. Maybe Brandon Marshall hit lefties. Maybe Yohan Rojas is actually an offensive player.
Was it Nolan Smith trending as a bust about a few weeks ago?
Yes.
Now he's considered, like, now he's one of everybody's favorite Eagles. Wasn't it Kobe Dean trending as a bust?
Yeah.
Now he's everybody's favorite Eagle.
But no one wanted to get rid of those guys. I want to add to the mix.
And they're playing well. And he's healthy. Favorite Eagle.
You're just overlooking the add to the mix.
I ain't overlooking nothing.
You just like the Eagles. Overlooking, adding to the mix.
I ain't overlooking nothing. I'm trying to get you people correct.
All I know is this. Yesterday, the Kansas City, over the last couple weeks, the Chiefs got better. The Lions got better. The Bills got better.
They needed a receiver, though.
We needed stuff.
They needed. It would have been nice to have something, but we didn't need anything.
To win the Super Bowl?
No, we good. We still going to Louisiana. Still going. Southbound and down.
I will say this. I do not feel as good today as I did a couple days ago about the Eagles' chances. I watched the Lions get better. I watched the
because you're a habitual grass watcher.
I am.
Like to watch other people's grass.
I'm staring at grass. Okay? I am locked in. Guys, we keep talking about the Super Bowl. I don't even know if we're going to win our division.
I think we will.
Ah.
I know we will.
You know we will?
Yeah, I'm about to put a bet on it. Parlay. Win the division.
What are you gonna parlay with? Another division winner? You could do that.
Man, what's up? I'm gonna say, okay. Detroit Lions.
Well, that's well, it's not as chalky as I would say the Bills, who are up like four games of the division. Yeah. All right, so you want to do Lions, Eagles, and what else? You do a three-teamer?
I'll do three.
Do you hear that? Hugh knows they're going to win the NFC East. He knows
you don't
that.
Know a damn thing.
I'm thinking about being a little you know, thinking outside. Maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers?
All right, so what are you doing here? You're doing a Lions, Eagles, Steelers division winners parlay?
Yeah.
All right, you want to know
the Steelers are going to take that division from the Ravens?
I'm being a Mac.
No, you're going to give your money to the
$2
betting sites. Yeah,
$2. Mm-hmm. But if I'm right,
I mean $2 wins about $14 you.
Now I need to juice up that.
You got to juice it up.
I need to. Okay. I can't pick out of the West. I can't pick it.
Well, that's
the Rams.
That's how you juice it up.
Yeah,
well,
but I can't pick the Rams.
Why?
Because I picked them not go to the playoffs.
Throw the Cardinals in there.
I'll throw the Cardinals.
All right. Four-teamer. And then See, now you're cooking. All right. Four-teamers. Steelers, Eagles, Lions, Cardinals, division winner parlay. It's 25-1. $2 wins $50.
I'll take that. Right. That's a coat right there.
Yeah, there we
Anything
go.
Anything that puts me in that coat area, I'm good with
Hugh's
that.
Got a coat. Tom and Willow Grove is up. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, What's Tom. On, What's man? Up, buddy?
Not much, man. I'm just driving to Scranton right now. If I lose you under the tunnel, I apologize.
We'll blame Hugh for it. No worries,
yeah,
Tom.
My
Go
fault.
Ahead.
It'd be my fault.
Always on you. But, yeah, I agree totally. You know, we should have made some type of move, especially on the defensive line, just to give some guys some breaks and rest, you know, for the second half of the season.
Yeah, Tom, I think that what you just said there is an important one. Like, the Eagles probably didn't have a super huge glaring hole. Like, you know, they have nobody at safety or nobody at pass rush or no one defensive line. But that's a big part of it, right? Keeping everyone fresh down the stretch. Tom, I go back to 2017. They didn't need a running back. They had LeGarrette Blount. They had Corey Clement. But they added Jay Ajayi to the mix, and it helped.
Right. Yeah, look at that fresh, you know, Clement down the sideline for the pass. He's not in there if we don't make that move.
I totally agree, Tom. It's you have to almost get ahead of it instead of just, you know, waiting to see if there's a hole. It was a bizarre trade deadline, Tom. Howie's usually way aggressive, and it felt like this time he just sat it out. All right, Tom, give us an iconic duo. What do you got?
How about Bonnie and Clyde?
Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, that's a good one.
I mean, we said iconic, and the people are bringing some iconic duos. Tom, we appreciate the phone call. Bonnie and Clyde, you see? See, you say you're pragmatic. I think Tom was pragmatic there. He was talking about trying to get ahead of the issues. Get a guy so if you have an injury or someone wears down, you've got more options.
I mean, but you always take that chance, man. But I look at it like this. Like, because I know a big talk yesterday was the running back position. How do we know Will don't have a running back on the team that can get it done? How do we know Will Shipley can't be that
on.
Change of pace? How do we know? We drafted him.
He does have burst.
How do we not know? He had a touchdown and we got called back. How do we not know if we don't give him a chance? You know, and I look at it like, would I give him a chance? Yeah.
No, I'm all for it. Well, now you're kind of forced to.
No, I mean, I would.
I would have liked to have had a better
trade deadline. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So I understand what Hugh's point just was, and you're talking about a rookie, right? And you've also brought up Nolan Smith. I'm telling you, my theory is if you gave truth serum to Howie Roseman, you know where his eyes are?
Where?
2025.
You think so?
I don't. But they didn't. They're playing young players. They're going to roll with young guys. That's not how you usually win a Super Bowl.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs won doing that, where they played the young corners.
Mahomes.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, you're right. And they're hoping that at some point you could put more on your quarterback's plate. Like, you know what? To be totally honest, full disclosure, we solve all these problems. Everything that we're talking about with the defense, the offense, the fact that Saquon Barkley is running the ball as much as he is.
Yep.
We solve all these problems if we do one thing. You know what that one thing is?
Throw the ball more efficiently.
And put a little bit more on the quarterback's plate.
I agree. But they seem to be taking it away from him.
But, again, we're halfway through the season now. Who's to say that Jalen Hurts doesn't progress and takes all of that pressure off of everybody, because that's the answer right there, Joe.
I agree with you, and he might, but the evidence says week by week they're asking to do less and less.
Well, I mean, yeah,
and I think part of that.
But I think even though last week looked the way that it did, I think that there's some light at the end of the tunnel, a little bit of light, not a whole lot. I'm not about to sit here and lie to nobody, But there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. Jahan Dotson or Sasquatch, because that's what he is. He
I'm
hasn't
supposed
been seen.
To feel better because Jahan Dotson just, made a circus
listen,
catch.
Listen, I'm just trying to give you a little bit of hope here. That's all I'm doing. Because if you've been following me and listening to these gems that I've been dropping on the stage
these
the last
what?
Couple of weeks, I'm the one that kind of told you. The one that kind of told you that when Sirianni, Coach Sirianni, that is, had his Britney Spears moment, that this was going to be a rallying cry. Was I wrong?
No.
Okay. So follow me here.
So you got one right.
I got more than one right. I'm the guy that hit the eight-leg parlay. Let's not forget.
I'm trying to forget.
Let's not forget.
We're all trying to forget.
I hit an eight-legger. I hit an eight-leg parlay not too long ago. So I know what I'm doing. Whether you believe me or not, I know what I'm doing. I don't know why you're laughing. Has anybody else in here hit an eight-legger?
Yes.
When?
Dude. Some of us didn't just start gambling last week.
When did you hit an eight-legger?
Hugh, I've hit bigger than eight-leggers before.
Not this week. No, you didn't.
Yes,
you got to show me. I can show you mine.
I also have to remind
you. I can show you some insane bet slips, buddy.
Can I remind you also something?
Bend your knee to my knowledge.
A broken clock is right twice a day, all right?
I hit an eight-legger in the last couple weeks. I don't know nobody else can say that.
What does that have to do with Eagles training for
because
somebody?
Because I'm right. I'm telling you what I'm talking about.
I told you so, Douglas.
You need to stop believing.
I told you so, Douglas, and bat bleep crazy Douglas are meeting right now. 215-592-9494. All right, Nick Sirianni is going to speak at 12:10. I can tell you what he's going to say. We're happy with the team we got. We believe in our guys. And I'm telling you, the truth is how we looked at the team and said 2025 is actually. We'll carry the Sirianni press conference in its entirety coming up. Your calls on yesterday's deadline. Are you disappointed that Howie didn't make a move? I am. Kyle is. Hugh's living in Cope World over here. And iconic duos of people, the best iconic duos, will win a prize today. Your chance for the grand prize as well, which includes a smoker and a 55-inch TV, courtesy of Gerhard's Appliances and Jack Daniels. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.